The Ozarks at Large podcast is made possible by KUAF's contributing listeners. Support from individual listeners in our community helps pay for the cost of producing and distributing this podcast. If you'd like to support this podcast and other digital media produced by KUAF, you can make a contribution at supportkuaf.com.
This is 91.3, a listener-supported service of the School of Journalism and Strategic Media at the University of Arkansas. And this is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, June 13th, 2018. I'm Kyle Kellums. Later on our show, when the LPGA golf tournament comes to Northwest Arkansas every year, it's also a big event for eating. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda gets us ready for Bite Northwest Arkansas in about 20 minutes or so. And later this afternoon on KUAF, on All Things Considered, what would it take to denuclearize North Korea? The former deputy general of the International Atomic Energy Agency will weigh in. He's made more than 20 trips to North Korea as an inspector. That's in All Things Considered this afternoon from 3 until 6 on 91.3. Artist Fear from the Walton Arts Center rolls along tonight with the latest concert in the Chapel Music Series. The Arcs Duo, Percussion Reimagined, is tonight at 7 at Hunt Chapel in Rogers. The duo was formed at Yale in 2014, and since they've delivered delivered concerts on three different continents, and it features two members of the grander Artisphere Orchestra. The chapel is intimate, only about capacity for 135 people, according to the chapel's website. But according to waltonartcenter.org, some limited tickets may be available for purchase on site. Good idea to call first before you go to the chapel tonight at 7. Artisphere will also include the launch of the 2018 KUAF Summer Jazz Festival with Bill Frisell at Walton Arts Center. That's tomorrow night. A few tickets may remain for that. Check waltonartcenter.org. The first season for Theater Squared in their under-construction new venue is less than a year and a half away. The construction continues at the corner of Spring and West in downtown Fayetteville. There will be one more T2 season across West Street at Nadine Baum Studios before the 2019 season takes the stage in a new multi-million dollar home. Last week, Morris Vines, construction manager of the project, was in the old Porter Produce Building. That's across Spring Street from the under-construction theater. He was close to a massive schedule that takes up an entire wall. It's a schedule of work that lays out the day-by-day schedule for everything from electrical to steelwork.
Planning, and I have a lot of good people around me, our subcontractors, our team here internally with Baldwin and Shell. It's not just me. It takes a village, if you will, and it's all about everyone working together from design team all the way through us and our subcontractors.
And Morris Vine says, yes, this is not your average project.
In particular, with this one, high level of design has gone into the acoustics and the performance of and criteria requires us to build to is the big difference. There's not standard wall types. There's not, you know, we may have a 12-inch thick concrete wall faced by 4 inches worth of mineral wool insulation and then a 4-inch solid block wall in front of that and then furred out with another couple of layers of plywood just to meet the acoustic requirement.
Passersby can see the progress. Walls are up, and that big hole that will allow 13 feet below the stage to be used is now out of view. Martin Miller, the executive director of Theater Squared, can stand just a few feet away from the construction and deliver, with a few points of his finger, a tour of some of the interesting exterior features that will be on view by autumn 2019.
This space that we're looking at right here is our rehearsal room. And it leans out over the corner of West and Spring and the active public areas with a big window in it. So people will know the shows get rehearsed here. We make them here. It's made in Arkansas. And it doesn't go anywhere else in terms of the production, although a world premiere might go on to be produced elsewhere.
So when this is a live, active building, we'll walk by. And those two big spaces, I assume, are the big windows to the rehearsal room?
Right there on this corner, there's one large window with a glowing two in it, exponential, and that's where you'll see a peak of the rehearsals happening. Just activity. We're three levels down from it, so you're not going to be able to read over people's shoulders, but you'll get a sense something's going on.
And below that space?
This is the three-level commons, which our goal is to have open all day. There are two outdoor areas, that terrace, which is cut in on the West Avenue side, a Spring Street patio that opens, the whole wall opens up to a cafe bar inside. I don't mean to bury the lead there. I said cafe bar inside. And then on the top, there's a rooftop terrace connecting the rehearsal space to our offices. But in between, there's just all of these public areas where people can hang out, bring a friend from out of town to show off what's new in Fayetteville in Northwest Arkansas, and this big sculptural stair connecting those levels.
The inside of the new theater will mix some of what patrons have enjoyed, an intimate space that places audiences incredibly close to the stage, and some new amenities, like a scene shop directly behind the new stage, separated by a 26-foot acoustic door that will allow quick load-in for sets. There's much more inside, or what passes right now for inside. There's no roof yet. So let's put on our hard hats and get a tour of what's ahead for T2.
If you can imagine walking right through here, you'll be standing right in front of the box office with your back to Spring Street. You'll have the cafe bar on your left, the entrance to the studio theater on your left, and entrances to the main stage on either side of you. And what's neat about the theater walls is whether you're inside or outside the building, you always know it's a theater wall because it's this architectural board-formed concrete. I think we should go up and take a closer look at those. Okay, so we're standing now in the studio theater. This is an entirely new space, of course, for Theater Squared. We have never had the opportunity to have a smaller 99-seat space. But this will be the place where we do readings, educational work, and all sorts of workshops and classes that'll happen throughout the year in addition to the main stage season.
How high is this, these walls?
These walls, I wish I could tell you the actual, I think they're probably about 32 feet high. And these are some of the board form walls I wanted to show you up close.
All right.
So again, watch your step. All of these walls have had organic boards, which have been blasted with baking soda, pressed against concrete as it's poured and allowed to cure, which is why you see the extruded grain of the wood all along these concrete volumes. And what's really neat about that conceptually is that it's the structure of the building, but it's also the finish of it. So you can read it from the outside. You say, there's a theater, and then you come in and you know exactly where the theater is happening. Because if you're walking next to one of these walls, whether you're on the way to the restroom or getting a drink at the bar, you can see where the theater's happening.
Do you know why baking soda?
It's a great question. They tried sand, they tried several different things to blast it with. Baking soda was the most successful, large sort of granule baking soda at pushing away the soft parts of the wood and keeping the harder parts of the wood so you got that extruded grain.
When you started your career, did you know as much about construction and electrical work and everything else as you do now?
Well, of course, in theater, you build things to last for about 8 weeks. So I knew a pretty good about making things look like they were gonna last forever. I spent 4 years working in a scene shop when I was in college, holding a screw gun, sticking stuff together and making it work. But no, this was an entirely new introduction to a whole new way of doing things on a much larger scale over a much longer time frame with a lot more at stake. But as you come through here and you can actually see there's
a trench
right here. That's going to be where the walls of the theater itself are. So we transition from hallway here into theater here. So when you're standing here, now you're as far away from the stage as a patron is going to be able to get. You see where the stage is right up there?
I see where the stage is. It seems like I'm almost even closer than Nadine Baum.
We've actually moved the front row closer to the stage in the new space. It's pretty important to us to preserve that intimacy. The back row is technically about one row deeper than in the current space, but the sight lines are really, really good. One of the things that will definitely feel different is the height of the space.
It seems to be three times as high.
We have a 14-foot ceiling over in Nadine Baum, and This is gives us much more flexibility to get the lights at the angles we want and to bring in things from above. Right now, if we wanted to bring in a sofa or a chandelier from above, it would be a very dangerous act. And you wouldn't want anyone underneath it because you'd just be dropping it off the catwalk. Here, we'll have a whole automation system that'll let us fly things in during a show. And the other extraordinary trick of this space, and we'll actually go down into it, the entire stage is trapped. This is the only theater venue in the state that has this capacity, and probably for a few, probably in Oklahoma as well, as far as I know. But the whole stage will be platformed, but underneath it is a 12 to 13 foot space where you can bring things up from below as well. Do you want to come down to the catacombs?
Okay.
All right. This is actually the most finished part of the building because they've been able, it's already closed in from the elements, so they've been able to put in all the ductwork, all the fire suppression, all this lingo I've learned in the last year. down here is where we store all sorts of theatrical things as well as additional seats for the theater. Here's a neat trick. The capacity of the theater is 275 seats, but if we want to, it can grow to 340 with very little work.
How's that?
There's a whole third tier where the catwalks are located. When we visited the Young Vic in London, we saw that they used that whole level for additional seating, unobstructed sight lines when they've got a hit show or a special event. So we said, okay, well, let's have one of those. So there's gonna be another 40 seats to begin with up on the third level, ready for people to come in and watch from up there if we can't get people in. But there's also an additional roll we can install on the first level that's been designed in from the beginning. So you're looking four stories up to the top of that roof if you're down here in the basement. And those are not residential stories. Those are, you know, each 13 or 14 foot stories. So yeah, it definitely has an impact on the streetscape. I think as we've heard from a lot of people as they've been coming into the last few shows this season, that they are taken aback at the scale of it. And I think that's totally fair. I lived with the plans and the model for, you know, long before they were even publicly released as we refined it. And I'm taken aback by the scale of it. But this is what a world-class theater means.
Martin Miller is the executive director of Theater Squared, and he talked with us from inside T2's under-construction theater site. It is scheduled to host productions beginning in the fall of 2019. The T2 2018 New Play Festival, by the way, continues through Sunday afternoon. You can find the details at theater2.org.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. Artist donations of original, handcrafted works are now being accepted for the 2018 Fresh Start Annual Art Fundraiser benefiting the Northwest Arkansas Women's Shelter. The deadline to enter is August 3rd, and artists will be provided with a charitable tax receipt. NWAWS.com for more.
Later on this Wednesday edition of Ozarks at Large, Eureka Springs is an old mountain town. That's much of its charm. But that history can also be a source for headaches and sinkholes.
They didn't put a concrete culvert as you would today. And then you throw in a bunch of old rocks and anything you got, and then throw in, you know, a couple of feet of topsoil and call it good. Normal excavation and fill procedures is that you come back with a red clay dirt mixture, and every 6 inches you compact it so you got a good base. I'm sure that was never done.
Underground Eureka creates a stir later on the show. Leaders and organizations in Northwest Arkansas have been exploring the idea of a bike share program since at least 2014. Now the city of Fayetteville, in conjunction with the University of Arkansas, is reviewing proposals from companies that could bring that kind of service to the area. Ozarks at Large's Zuzana Sitek tells us more about what a potential bike share system would look like.
When we meet for our interview, Dane Eifling, the bicycle and pedestrian programs coordinator for the U of A and the city of Fayetteville, arrives at the U of A Sustainability House, on his bicycle. And Eifling is excited about opening up that opportunity to others. It's something he's been working on for the last few years.
We've had kind of fits and starts as far as where we're going with it, but we are right now on the knocking on the door of launching a bike share system this fall, which is very exciting for me and for a lot of people who have been wanting this for a long time.
But Eifling says in the end, it was probably for the best that a bike share system had not come to fruition until now.
The technology and the really the financial modeling that has happened has made these systems a lot more sustainable from a financial side.
Prior to the third-party operated bike share systems available now, Eifling says programs had to be heavily subsidized and responsibility for the equipment, like the bike docking stations and the bikes themselves, fell on the city.
Traditional bike share, you picture a docking station with bicycles docked into slots and that you interact with a kiosk to unlock that bike from the docking station, and then you're able to ride it to and from, but ultimately you need to end your ride at the same or another docking station at your destination or near your destination.
Eifling says those kinds of systems are great for bigger cities like New York or Chicago that have gridded streets and a lot of destinations packed together throughout the cities.
Fayetteville is not like that. We do have some gridded streets, but we're a lot less dense than a big city. And our infrastructure is a lot less dense. So a dockless system is really the only way to go.
A dockless system means no docks. So a rider will be able to pick up a bike from various locations throughout the city and drop it off at their destination, where another user will be able to pick it up and take it somewhere else.
And I see it a little bit like part of the sharing economy as well, that we're seeing people that they don't necessarily see a ownership as associated with their lifestyle or with their version of wealth. Access is really what people want. And what bike share is allowing people to do is to access a bicycle, not to own a bicycle.
Eifling says there will also be a rebalancing aspect to the system.
When all of the bicycles migrate to a certain location and there aren't enough in other locations, the provider will be able to see that as well. And there will be a team here locally that on a daily basis will rebalance the system as needed based on demand.
The bike share bikes will be equipped with GPSs and users will be able to locate and unlock them using a smartphone app. But Eifling says the city and the university also want to make sure the service is available to as many people as possible.
Access and equity with the bike share is a key consideration for the vendor that we ultimately are going to select. We would like to lower those sort of barriers to the unbanked and the unsmartphoned of the world that places like Northwest Arkansas have a lot of.
While Eifling says he's not sure at this point what that will look like in Fayetteville, some of the options are a keypad system or something even more old school, like a physical office where users will need to show an ID and leave a deposit. As far as how much the system will cost the city and the U of A, Eifling says the new technology and operating models that have been developed in the last few years have dramatically driven down the cost of bike share services.
And in fact, the city and the university are obligated to zero funding, that it does not have to cost the Fayetteville taxpayer or the U of A anything to have this system in place, that it can be solely funded by the user fees.
And Eifling says they're also working to make sure the bike share fees are as competitive as possible with the other transportation options in the region.
We're trying to make sure that people have options, and we're trying to hopefully see people exercising those options. And when it comes to transportation, I think a lot of people see the car as their only means to get around town because of the way things are built or because of a lot of factors. And so by putting down the trails and by putting down a bike share system, we're offering an option.
And while a regional bike share system never got off the ground in the past,
it's just been difficult to coalesce because you look at how spread out even an area like Northwest Arkansas, where we do have a regional trail system and we do have a lot of regional cooperation. Even with that, it's difficult, very difficult to get that many municipalities on board with a single vision.
Eifling hopes the bike share program in Fayetteville can be a model for what works for the other cities along the Razorback Regional Greenway, which ideally will allow a vendor to expand organically into other parts of Northwest Arkansas. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Susanna Sitek.
Dane Eifling says the GPS units will also allow the city and university to see where and how people are using the bikes. That data can then be used to make future infrastructure decisions. They'll also be able to quantify health effects and carbon emission reduction. Eifling says the city will launch the service with 300 bicycles.
The KUAF Summer Night Swing, a live concert and fundraising event, is Friday, June 22nd from 7 to 10 p.m. Local musicians will perform, including Claudia Burson, Ed Nicholson, Ben Harris, Ezra Eidlett, and Keith Grimwood of Trout Fishing in America, and more. It's a celebration of local music featuring the two longest-running programs on 91.3, Shades of Jazz and The Pick and Post. Tune in to the KUAF Summer Night Swing. Live and on the air, Friday, June 22nd from 7 to 10 p.m. on 91.3. Gives me time to think.
Dream of houses in the tree. June is packed, just packed with live music. Besides the June 22nd event that Lee Wood just told you about. Tomorrow night, KUAF's 2018 Summer Jazz Concert Series begins with Bill Frisell performing live at Walton Arts Center. This is also part of the ongoing Artisphere Festival from Walton Arts Center. So that's tomorrow night at Walton Arts Center. Still a few tickets left, at least there were this morning. You'll want to check. Then Friday night, the Artisphere Festival continues live here on 91.3 with the annual Mozart in the Museum live radio concert that will come to us from Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art in Bentonville. The concert, featuring the Artisphere Orchestra, begins at 8 Friday night and will be hosted live by Katie Hendrickson from Of Note with Katie Hendrickson every Sunday through Thursday night at 8 on 91.3. That's Friday night, live from 8 to 10 on 91.3. Then, Monday night, Katie is back in Bentonville with the latest edition of the Trillium Salon Series at 21C Museum Hotel in Bentonville. Fittingly for 21C, chamber music from the 21st century will be on the bill, featuring members of the Artisphere Festival Orchestra. Now, that will be at 8 Monday night at 21C in downtown Bentonville. Let's stay with June for a moment. The Walmart Northwest Arkansas Championship, presented by P&G, returns to Rogers next week. In addition to the LPGA tournament, the week is full of other community events, including a 5K race and Bite Northwest Arkansas. That's a three-night food festival. Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda has more about how the food component of this golf competition has grown over the past few years.
Event director Harry Hardy says over the last decade, sports events have been paying close attention to the fan experience, and a big part of that is food and beverage on site.
We had seen that trend coming online with sports events, but we wanted to evolve the LPGA week to more than just golf. You know, I think if you're a golf fan, it's great. It's our core customer, our core fan. But, you know, we're challenged to grow this event every year, grow the impact, grow the number of people that are engaging with us. And so food was just the perfect way to go and do that. And, of course, during that time, Northwest Arkansas was really developing this identity as a culinary destination as well across the whole region, Bentonville in particular.
2018 marks the fourth year of this culinary component. After the first year, the event underwent a name change and became Bite Northwest Arkansas.
Octagon, the company I work for, had started some other culinary events in other markets across the country and used the name Bite. And then the venue at the time, we had Bite Silicon Valley. And we've had a couple of others since then. So Bite Northwest Arkansas just kind of stuck. It's a little more edgy. People at first were like, really, Bite? But now it just that's what it's known as. People use that term all the time. So it kind of stuck, caught on, and we've started to build a brand around that. Now we've actually started some Bite Light events that we'll do year-round, kind of pop up 200-300 people to build up to the Bite main event.
Hardy says they hosted a Bite Light event in April, and the goal is to have one every quarter. This year's iteration of Bite Northwest Arkansas will take place at the 8th Street Market in Bentonville. Hardy says the indoor-outdoor event will feature close to 50 exhibitors each night. He says it will be a good cross-section of local restaurants and national brands who do business at Walmart. While the Friday, June 22nd event has already sold out, there are still tickets available for June 20th and 21st.
Thursday is Bite Discover, so very much a focus on the chefs, the ingredients, the education behind cooking. So if you're a foodie, that's really your night. And then Bite Spark is Wednesday night, which is a focus on kind of international cuisine, celebrating the diversity of people here in Northwest Arkansas and the diversity of restaurants that are starting to come online as well.
Hardy says they try to highlight interesting, diverse stories from the local restaurant scene. One of those unique eateries participating in this year's event is Sidewalk Vietnamese Street Food. The restaurant is located in a brightly colored shopping center along West Walnut Street in Rogers. Sous chef Sean Sterling says it's the restaurant's second year to participate in Bite Northwest Arkansas.
Last year we did a five-spiced braised pork shoulder lettuce wrap. So that was a very big mouthful for the girls to say in front that we're serving it. So this year we're doing something a little simpler. We're doing a chicken wonton nacho. So we're taking that wonton wrapper and frying it like a tortilla chip. And then we'll put the lemongrass chicken on it and like a fresh salad and some sriracha on top.
Sterling grew up in Farmington and went to culinary school in California before spending a year working in kitchens in Australia. Sterling was earning a history degree in college when he decided to switch gears and become a chef. He says he loves the creativity of cooking.
I love seeing the process of how something comes together. Obviously, it started with me eating. I love to eat, first of all. I come from a family of eaters, so when I got in college, I had to cook for myself, so I just started with basic things, and then I'll go out to eat somewhere, and eat something and I'd look it up, be like, oh, how is this made? And then, so it kind of just went from there.
Sidewalk opened about 2 years ago and Sterling has been there from the start. Today, they've developed a unique menu and one of their most popular offerings is the smoked pork belly fries.
The beef is very good. There's another soup, mee wonton. It's got like shrimp and pork in it. That's, I would say, very traditional. And then we have bowls, like rice bowls. We sell a lot of those. That's basically what I make. I work on the grill. So we got lemongrass chicken, shrimp, short ribs, tofu. Tofu is very popular for all the vegetarians. Banh mi sandwiches, those are very good. Steam buns, the bao buns, those are good. And then another unique thing is the lava rocks. I've never seen that around here. So it's basically a 800-degree rock, and we basically give you some shrimp or steak. And we bring it out to your table on this plank, and you cook it yourself.
As the Northwest Arkansas culinary scene continues to grow, Sterling says he hopes to see more diversity.
I would say different types of restaurants, because that's when you live in a bigger city like LA. You can go have Ethiopian food, you can go have Greek food, you can go have ramen. So that's what I liked about living in the bigger cities. You can try different things. So I would say, and that's part of like this restaurant, is people being accepting to trying new things. So they're being successful, so I think other concepts are seeing that, and they're opening around us. So, yeah, it's exciting.
You can sample the current diversity of the region's culinary scene next week during Bite Northwest Arkansas. Tickets are $30 a night, and more information is available at bitenwa.com. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
This is a Wednesday edition of Ozarks at Large. Do you remember last month we talked about the Eureka Springs Chalk Art Festival, the first of its kind? One of the chalk art designs that was created was of a two-dimensional sinkhole that looked like 3D. Well, the 3D kind of sinkhole has emerged in Eureka, a section of hand-built underground stormwater aqueduct in downtown Eureka Springs, which historically drains dozens of cold water springs, has collapsed. And as Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich reports, it's caused a sensation.
What was a busy downtown parking lot is now a massive hole where Berryville excavator Jimmy Jones is carefully maneuvering his Caterpillar this sultry Friday afternoon.
There's a collapsed storm drain. We're repairing it. Just having to get down to it. That's the biggest part of it.
The repair will take a couple of weeks, he says, including the placement of a new 8x8-foot cast concrete storm drain. It's been an unusually hot and dry spring. A narrow stream of water known as East Leatherwood Creek flows through the mud 35 feet below, disappearing beneath a building next door. The original stone aqueduct built to contain the creek in the late 1800s was in time covered over with buildings and later parking lots. Jones was hired by parking lot owner John Cross, a local banker, to repair the collapse, located between Basin Spring Bathhouse and a shopping mall. In an email for this report, Cross says, because the city also uses the aqueduct as a stormwater drain, the city should help him pay for repairs, a job which he says he did not put out for bid, nor did he get an estimate. It was a friendly handshake emergency excavation deal, he says. But Mayor Butch Berry says John Cross is responsible for repairs, given he owns the parking lot.
Our city is built on valleys and gullies.
Eureka Springs, founded in 1879 and incorporated as a city a year later, is an old mountain community. Old photographs reveal wooden buildings along Main Street, originally called Mud Street, at the bottom of a long, steep valley, were built on either side of the once-open spring-fed East Leatherwood Creek. And that aqueduct, the mayor says, was built for a certain era.
They didn't put a concrete culvert as you would today. And then you throw in a bunch of old rocks and anything you got, and then throw in, you know, a couple of feet of topsoil and call it good. Normal excavation and fill procedures is that you come back with a red clay dirt mixture, and every 6 inches you compact it, so you got a good base. I'm sure that was never done.
And downtown heavy traffic is taking a toll, he says.
Trash trucks and garbage trucks and heavy delivery trucks and vehicles running over them every day.
A section of county-owned parking lot up the street next to the city auditorium collapsed several years ago, Berry says.
Then we went ahead in conjunction, the county paid for that. Now, we paid for the top part because we were leasing it from the county. So we were responsible for the actual striping and paving of the parking lot, but the county was responsible for everything under the parking lot.
Berry says he tried to take preventive measures, coordinating with property owners along the aqueduct.
We approached the property owners a year ago. Paul Hull, who helped us write our FEMA disaster plan, came up with a concept of getting all the property owners from the courthouse down to Grand Central to form a property owners association so they could tax themselves, or an enterprise zone, to tax themselves to go in and repair this. But the property owners decided that they didn't want to do that.
The plan required a 75% buy-in from property owners, Berry says. When asked if he planned to sue the city for financial reimbursement, John Cross says he will cross that bridge when he comes to it. In the meantime, the city this week will start to spend $300,000 in grant funding to shore up what is now a working section of Leatherwood Creek Aqueduct further north along Main Street, a public project, the mayor says, requires costly vetting by an archaeologist as well as the five civilized tribes. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
And you can view a slideshow of the aqueduct repair at our website, ozarksatlarge.com.
The 11th annual Art in the Garden at the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks takes place Friday, June 15th, beginning at 6:30 p.m. This year's honorary art patrons are Jim and Nancy Blair. The evening will include an art display and sale, plus live music, food, wine, craft beer, and spirits. Proceeds support the Botanical Garden's educational programs and services. BGOzarks.org for limited tickets or for information. 91.3 is supported by The Fresh Market, providing curated ingredients, gifts, and meal ideas, including USDA Prime Filet Mignon, prepared side dishes, and fresh floral bouquets. Details at TheFreshMarket.com.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me in his studio, the Harold and Blanchcock studio, is Timothy Dennis. It is time for us to talk about all the music that's coming up on what I'm going to call the extended Flag Day holiday weekend.
I like that. Okay. I like that. And there's a lot of stuff this extended Flag Day weekend.
All right.
Let's start with tomorrow night. Willie Carlisle is going to be at 21st Amendment.
What is he going to be doing?
He's going to be playing music, I would assume.
Well, you know, but with Willie sometimes it's...
Well, that's true. It could be the play. Right. It could be any number of other things. Right. But no, he's just playing his music.
Okay. Every drunkard, every whore, for the girl who keeps a loaded gun in her underwear drawer. It ain't there because she's angry. It's there because she's bored. Takes a certain kind of girl to be a lover in this world. At 2 a.m. on Sunday, she's got blood on her hands. Trying to make it better with her. That show begins at 6 p.m. and it is free. Well, that's a heck of a deal.
Yeah, especially considering that he just released a new album and he'll probably be playing most of the songs from that album.
I'm assuming that copies of his CD will be available?
I would assume so. All right. Again, 6 p.m., 21st Amendment in Fayetteville. Also, tomorrow night, up in Bentonville, there will be a couple of Nashville adult singer-songwriters doing the City Session series. Rand and Stephen Day will be at Gearhead Outfitters. We were dancing in the street like people do. Dancing in the street, hiding the truth. Dancing in the street like people. When they're in love. That show is $10 plus Eventbrite fees, so it's about $11.40, something like that. And that show is from 7:30 to 10 p.m. Moving on to Friday, there's going to be a rock and roll show at Backspace. Locals Drawing Blanks will be joined by Acid Queen from Tulsa. And Drawing Blanks, they're actually releasing a new album at that show. I watch in the light of the moon, so I can capture the mood and give this night new attitude. And you got... that show is at Backspace. They're asking for a $5 donation at the door for the bands. And it begins, well, doors open at 8 p.m. Music will start sometime after that. And then also Friday night, Marley's Ghost will be at Meteor Guitar Gallery in Bentonville. Way out yonder where the road disappears, I've been trying to get to that place for years. But the longer I drive, day after day, that old road keeps slipping. They play kind of folk roots music.
Mm-hmm.
They've been around for quite a while, more than 3 decades, actually.
Yeah, they have.
Tickets for that show are $12.50 in advance. If you wait until Friday, they'll be $15, and that show is from 8:30 to 11:30 p.m.
Plenty of options so far, Timothy.
Plenty of options, and that's just through Friday.
Okay.
Now, moving on to Saturday, the Ozark Howlers will be at Stage 18 in Fayetteville. If you really want me, baby, just let me know. I'd give it all I've got if you told me so. I'm a fool for your love, you know I am. Local kind of rock and roll band, that is also an album release show for them.
Wow.
A lot of albums being released this weekend.
This is a wonderful time for me to bring up one of my, what's on my wish list for our region. Wouldn't it be nice if there was just one little place where everyone who released musically, you know, locally, or in our region, or in the state, you knew that you could go to that place and there would be the CD.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it doesn't exist because you can't get rich doing that.
Right.
But it would be a nice option for music lovers. Oh, I know that if I don't go to the show with this band, I can go to this location and get their CD.
That's the dream.
That is
the dream. You've just described the dream.
All right.
Okay, so anyway, that Ozark Howlers show at Stage 18, it is $10 at the door, and it's from 9 to 11 p.m.
Okay.
Then moving up to Bentonville, Daz and Bree will be at Record. They're a rock and soul woman duo fronted band.
I think I know what you're saying. But they
really, really have some nice feeling with their songs. And I don't want to think too much tonight. They mix acid rock instrumentation with soulful, funky vocals, is what they say. I think that's pretty apt. Cover for that show is $5 at the door. It's from 9 p.m. to midnight, again at Record in downtown Bentonville. Then also in Bentonville Saturday night, the Irie Lions will be at Bike Rack Brewing Company. And they also have a new album out. Gotta keep moving step by step. Gotta keep moving. The name of his imperial majesty. Rastaman, I speak, I know you hear, but are you listening? That is actually going to be a free show with the Irie Lions. It's at the 8th Street Bike Rack Brewing Company. It's from 7 to 9 p.m. Okay, moving on. This is actually not just happening Saturday night, but the Eureka Springs Blues Weekend happens Friday through Sunday.
Right.
But I will just highlight this one show that's happening Saturday night. Coco Montoya and Carolyn Wonderland will be at The Odd.
And Coco Montoya is an entertainer deluxe.
Right.
I mean, he's just fantastic.
Now, John Mayall, he was supposed to play that spot, but he got a case of pneumonia. He's recovering now.
Right, and he canceled the whole tour. Last I saw on his Facebook page was, you know, as soon as I get better, we're going to try to make up as many dates as possible.
But Coco, he played with John Mayall.
Yes.
So that should be an excellent show. The entire Blues Fest, you can find out more information about that at eurekasprings.org. But for just the Coco Montoya Carolyn Wonderland show, expect to pay $20 to $40 for
tickets.
It's
still a deal.
It's a steal.
It's a steal. In that venue with those performers.
And The Odd, if you've never been, it's an incredible space.
Yeah.
That show is from 8 to 10 p.m. again at The Odd in Eureka Springs. Then finally, Sunday, Sad Daddy is going to be back in town at Fable Public Library for the Mountain Street Stage Series.
And that's a heck of a deal.
It is a heck of a deal because it's free. It's 2 to 4 p.m. And I will mention that two of the band's members, Rebecca Paddock and Melissa Carper, they officially released a new album yesterday titled Brand New Old Time Songs. So look for that. It's a really good album.
Boy, wouldn't it be nice if you could look for it at one specific place?
It would be great.
Yeah, okay. There's probably a reason no one's done this yet.
Probably so.
Yeah, there's a reason I'm not in retail.
And we may hear about it shortly.
There you go. All right. So, Sad Daddy Sunday.
Yes. And we will actually hear from Rebecca Paddock and Melissa Carper in a few weeks on Ozarks at Large.
All right. Thank you, Timothy.
Thank you. The police took it, and that's the last time I saw it. I can't lose what I don't have. And I don't have a phone, so I won't miss your call. I can't lose what I don't have. And I can't lose my way, cause there's nowhere I'm going. Can't tell when I get there, there's no way, you know. I can't lose what I don't have. And I got holes in my socks and holes in my shoes. I got nothing and nothing to lose. Yeah, I got holes in my socks and holes in my shoes. I got nothing and nothing to lose.
With me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio, Lee Wood, who is the producer of the KUAF Vinyl Hour that you can hear every Sunday evening at 5 on KUAF 3. Happy almost official summer.
Okay, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It's been too hot for it to not be officially summer.
We had that one little break, or not break, but we had that one time when it was kind of hot. But the last week has been pretty mild.
This is true.
I mean, ish.
I like that you just revealed yourself, which is that when it's 100 degrees, you're at your happiest. You're like, that was a break when it was in triple digits.
Right, right.
Anyway, yes. Well, I'm ready for summer, and you know it's Pride Week, right? Pride Month.
Pride Month, and the parade in Fayetteville is Saturday.
Saturday, yeah. That's right. And so in honor of Pride Month, we're going to re-listen to an episode for this week's Vinyl Hour that's a Pride playlist.
Okay.
My friend and my co-host for the episode, Martin Tuller, put together some of his favorite songs, but also songs that sort of track his journey of going to some of his first gay clubs in Fayetteville in the 80s. And then he moved to Houston, where he met his husband and, you know, the clubs that they would go to and the music that they would see and the performances there, and then coming back here. It's this really great musical story that's Martin's story of, you know, the songs he encountered as he was coming out and meeting a community and meeting his husband, both in Fayetteville and in Houston.
Can you give us an example of something we'll hear?
You might have heard of some people like Donna Summer.
Okay. Yeah.
Or Diana Ross. I mean, they're iconic, you know, divas, but they're also these great features in drag shows. You know, they're gay anthems. Mm-hmm. Sylvester is a standout for me. Yeah. I love him so much. So not a whole lot of music that you probably have never heard before, but they all tell a story. He remembers where he was in the club. He remembers, you know, the performer that he saw, and that this really is the music of the gay rights movement of the 70s and 80s.
The milepost effect, right? Some songs are so strong that they instantly take you back to the age you were when they meant the most to you.
Well, and let's take a Diana Ross song, for instance. I'm Coming Out is a song she really made about leaving Motown and, you know, getting free from Berry Gordy and that control that she'd been under. And now it is probably the most well-known LGBTQ anthem there
right.
is.
Yeah. Right.
So it's that kind of thing. Yeah. And these were songs that were adopted by that culture and community. And they still mean a lot. They still pack a punch.
All right. That's Sunday evening at 5 on KUAF3, the Vinyl Hour with Lee Wood. Thank you, Lee.
Thanks.
.3 is supported by Arkansas Children's Northwest, providing fast access to pediatric experts specializing in kid-sized care. Arkansas Children's Northwest is located in Springdale, across from Arvest Ballpark. Information at archildrens.org/emergency. The Museum of Native American History in Bentonville presents the second annual symposium exploring the creative visions of contemporary Native America, June 14th through the 17th, featuring films, storytelling, author readings, workshops, prairie to table dining, free musical performances, and more. Details at monah.us.
A listener-supported service of the J. William Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas. This is 91.3 KUAF, Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Bentonville, and Pruitt. Well, how about Pruitt and Ponca? Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums. Thank you so much for tuning in on this Wednesday. Don't forget, you can always tune in if you want to hear past editions of the show or just individual stories or interviews that have been on Ozarks at Large. They're all available at ozarksatlarge.com. They're also available as a mobile unit. You can take us as a free podcast. You can subscribe through services like iTunes, Stitcher, Apple TV, and many others. And finally, we're available on the free KUAF app as well, at least the most recent editions of Ozarks at Large. But also on that KUAF app, you can stream KUAF 91.3, you can stream KUAF 2, our 24/7 classical music station, and KUAF 3, that is dedicated around the clock to folk music and locally produced shows on the weekend. KUAF app, also free. All right, almost time for us to go. We're going to end with music from Brick Fields that was recorded exclusively for Ozarks at Large at the Carver Center for Public Radio. The song is Heartbreak. I'll remind you that you can catch Brick Fields through Eureka Springs Blues Weekend. They will be part of the Eureka Springs Blues Weekend Friday night at 7 at New Delhi Cafe, and then Saturday afternoon at 3 in the Basin Park Bandshell. If you'd like to know more about Brick Fields and some of their regular gigs, you can go to the easy-to-remember BrickFieldsMusic.com. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. Back tomorrow at noon and 7 with another brand-new edition of Daily Ozarks at Large.
When a love is true, can sometimes hurt just like no other. One does another wrong, make you cry like an old blues song. Close your eyes and suffer. Ain't nothing like picking up the pieces handled carelessly by some foreign fool. But when the true lover does the breaking, it somehow seems so cruel. Heartbreak. Baby, one more time. I ain't cried enough these days. Not quite enough to lose my mind. But I know I can get there. Sure enough, yeah. If you'd be so obliged to heartbreak my seen you there, sure enough. Your head a-hanging down in grief. Feeling all so guilty for the pain you think you've caused me. Oh, but I know I'll forgive you. And everything's gonna be alright. For there are times I need forgiving too, and you're always by my side. Heartbreak my heart. Oh, baby, just one more time. I ain't cried enough these last few days. Not quite enough to lose my mind, but I know I can get there. Sure enough, sure can. If you'll be so obliged to heartbreak my heart, baby. Oh, just one more time. Mockery. To heartbreak a heart can destroy a woman, 'cause it comes from the one she's one with. Ooh. Not quite enough to lose my mind.